From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews as he brings the opening portion of a message called A Great Cloud of Witnesses. Although Dr. Cairns has finished his exposition of Hebrews chapter 11, the spirit of the passage actually carries over into chapter 12. The imagery is that of a great sporting event, such as the Olympics, in which the saints in heaven are characterized as a great cloud of witnesses. As Dr. Cairns will explain, the connotation is of a group who serve as spectators to a race and who cheer for those who compete. From this text in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we'll see that believers are called to run a race for God. The thought of those heavenly witnesses ought to inspire us to run our best so that we may obtain what Paul spoke of as the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 29 and verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. God's glory is the result of His nature and acts. He is glorious in His character, for there is such a store of everything that is holy and good and lovely in God, that He must be glorious. The actions which flow from His character are also glorious. But while He intends that they should manifest to His creatures His goodness and mercy and justice, He is equally concerned that the glory associated with them should be given only to Himself. Nor is there aught in ourselves in which we may glory. For who maketh us to differ from one another? And what have we that we had not received from the God of all grace? Then how careful ought we to be to walk humbly before the Lord. The moment we glorify ourselves, since there is room for one glory only in the universe, we set ourselves up as rivals to the Most High. Shall the insect of an hour glorify itself against the sun which warmed it into life? Shall the potsherd exalt itself above the man who fashioned it upon the wheel? Shall the dust of the desert strive with the whirlwind, or the drops of the ocean struggle with the tempest? Give unto the Lord, all ye righteous, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto Him the honor that is due unto His name. Yet it is perhaps one of the hardest struggles of the Christian life to learn this sentence. Not unto us, but unto Thy name be glory. It is a lesson which God is ever teaching us, and teaching us sometimes by most painful discipline. Let a Christian begin to boast, I can do all things, without adding, through Christ which strengtheneth me. Before long he will have to groan, I can do nothing, and bemoan himself in the dust. When we do anything for the Lord, and He is pleased to accept of our doings, let us lay our crown at His feet and exclaim, Not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
Not I, but Christ be honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Christ be seen, be known, be heard. Not I, but Christ in every look and action. Not I, but Christ in every thought and word. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be
Christ that lives in me.
but Christ to wipe the falling tear. Not I, but Christ to lift the heavy burden. Not I, but Christ to hush away all fear. Christ only.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Under the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com. Thank you.
Returning this morning to Hebrews chapter 12. We finished the 11th chapter of Hebrews last Lord's Day, but of course the argument, the application rather, runs into the opening verses of the following chapter. It may well be argued that it runs a lot further than that through what follows. But we're reading the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these very familiar verses from his own precious word for his name's sake. We want to consider particularly the words of verse 1 with some slight reference to the beginning of verse 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Apostle Paul must have been very fond of athletics. At least he makes fairly constant reference to athletic competition as something that stirred his soul and made him think of a much higher and a much better use of a person's energies. The apostle frequently alluded to games of skill and of strength to teach lessons of vital spiritual importance to the people of God. None of those allusions of the apostle is more significant, more famous, than the one we have read this morning at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12. In this first verse of Hebrews 12, the apostle refers to the Greek games of the type that were held once in 5 years at Olympia, a name that's become very famous to us because of its rebirth late in the last century as the modern Olympic Games. Among the Greeks, the games that they played were not mere sporting events. They were often events of great civic importance, and even more, they were usually events of great religious solemnity. For instance, the games at Olympia were dedicated to the god Jupiter. On those occasions, huge crowds gathered to watch as the flower of Greek youth competed for honors. The race was always over a particular and prescribed course. And at the end of that course sat a tribunal of judges, each of whom had been in his own time an Olympic competitor and indeed an Olympic champion. The winners of the morning contests at these games did not receive their prizes after winning, but rather as soon as their contest was over, they took their place among the spectators, and they sat on until at the end of the day all the winners received their just reward, their laurels of victory. Now, once you get this picture in your mind, I think you can very easily appreciate the force of the apostle's argument here in Hebrews chapter 12. as he exhorts the Hebrew Christians to persevere in their faithful service for Christ. Having gone through this great list of people in Hebrews chapter 11, having said that there's such an innumerable company that time would fail me to speak of them all individually and by name, to refer to each of the great exploits of faith that they did. Having said that, he simply says, "Now, we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. There have been myriads of mighty men who have gone before us. They have finished the course. Now we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. Let us, as they did, run with patience the race that is set before us, laying aside every weight, and especially laying aside the sin that would so easily beset us, ever looking off unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith." Since we are surrounded by such a wonderful cloud and crowd of witnesses to the faith of Jesus Christ, great champions of faith in Christ, let us with equal devotion give ourselves to the work and service of the Lord Jesus until at the end of the day we all, by the grace of God, reach the victor's stand. And to use the words of chapter 11, then we shall be perfected together, and we shall receive with all the Old Testament saints the promise in all its fullness. Now the word witnesses is an interesting word. It obviously means those who give testimony, but it also means those who are spectators. And both meanings give a very good sense in the chapter. You think of these witnesses as those who give testimony. Read again in Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll find that their testimony is that faith in Jesus Christ can and will obtain the blessing of God. That's their testimony. And since we are surrounded by such a wonderfully full testimony to the power of faith in Christ, let us run the race patiently and faithfully, looking unto Jesus Christ. But I think, given the figure of speech that Paul is using here, given the picture that he's drawing, surely the idea is of spectators. Remember what I said, that the people who won their races in the Greek games to which Paul is making his allusion did not immediately receive their prize. They rather took their place in the gallery of the spectators until all the winners had reached the finishing line, and then together they were granted the prize. That's the very truth, of course, that we were emphasizing in past weeks in Hebrews 11, 39 and 40. That is the very truth that Paul is saying. They without us should not be made perfect. They didn't enter into the final victory. They didn't get the final prize. They didn't, on completion of their race, enter into the eternal fullness of glory. They're waiting the resurrection just as we are. But the truth is there, that the day is coming when we all together shall be perfected. So it appears to me that these people are looked on as spectators. And some people draw a very vast conclusion from that. And it may be a just conclusion. That is that the saints of God from former days, now in heaven with Christ, take a very vital, real, lively interest in the work and progress of the ministry of Christ here on earth. And that they, like spectators, see the onward race of the people of God. Many people come to that conclusion. There may be much to say in its favor. I don't, however, think that that's what the apostle is intending to convey here, and that the subject is much too vast to hang it all on one incidental allusion in Hebrews 12 and 1. All I'll say is that there is here figurative language, and the most that you can certainly deduce from this is that the struggles and the victories of the great warriors of the faith in past days are just like the cheers of the crowd to an athlete. When we read Hebrews 11, it's as if we were surrounded by a great company of spectators who had themselves competed and won, and who are cheering us on to victory. And I can certainly attest that the memory of great men has a salutary effect. I was saved as a young boy in the Salvation Army in the city of Belfast, the central citadel corps in Belfast. I am sure every Salvation Army hall has this. I'm not certain, but I'm sure they would have it. I can still see that old building. Walking up the long hallway, going into the fairly large auditorium, and you'd pillars supporting a balcony, as far as I remember. Not that I ever got up there, but certainly was holding up something. And over on the wall, they had this picture of an old man. And I never remember walking into that Salvation Army hall without looking at that picture. It seemed to rivet your attention. It was a picture of William Booth, that venerable patriarch of Salvationism, a mighty man. Don't agree with all his theology, but I would to God we had 100 William Booths in America today and in England. And certainly as you looked at that man and realized this was a man who would endure anything for the cause of Christ, who would go to any length to reach souls for Christ, who loved the drunkard and the prostitute and the outcast, who loved those whom religious society had no time for, who gave himself to the lowest and the meanest of the great urban societies and poured out his soul to win them for Christ. When you looked at that man's picture, I want to tell you, it put fire in your heart. And even as a young fellow, I felt that. It put a determination in your soul. It made you realize what I'm doing is worth doing. The battle I'm in is worth fighting. The race I'm running is worth running. And the cause I am serving is the cause of all causes. It's worth spending and being spent in. Now, if one picture of William Booth could impart, even to a little boy, such a feeling, how much more will an understanding of Hebrews 11 encourage God's people to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.